whole idea is to keep people out of court because the court is part of the problem, as you said earlier in the program. So to go in to do class actions and to go into court, you're really dealing with the same thing that's causing the problem. So it's like going to the, I always give the analogy of a pirate ship. You're going onto the pirate ship and telling the pirate captain that you're being pirated and he needs to stop this pirating. And they just kind of look at you like, you know, you're on the pirate ship right here. And we have rules out here that are different than on the wharf. And, but they don't tell you all this. So they just let you be in ignorance, and then you're wondering why things were ruled against you. And I've seen some brilliant cases put on and they lose because they're not playing according to the rules that the system is playing at. So yeah. I just wanted to clarify that. So we've taken this we're basically taking the system and feeding it to itself.
The good life is one inspired by love and guided by knowledge. You'll find both love and knowledge here on The Misdiagnosed Life. Here is your host, Beverly Butler.
It's called SMART, but it bathes you in radiation, it makes thousands sick, it sometimes catches on fire, and it doesn't do what it says it does, it raises cost, it can control your home, and it can also spy on you. And the government and companies selling it want you to believe that's mandatory. But it's not. What is it? It's called a smart meter. And what you're going to hear today will shock some, surprise others, and make the rest of you angry. I've got with me today Josh Del Sol, director of the documentary Take Back Your Power, and Cal Washington, who's an empowerment advocate and contractor. And they are both on a mission to stop this insanity of these smart meters and to help people take back their power from an out-of-control government. Josh, Cal, welcome to the show. What is so bad about smart meters? I mean, I know I mentioned earlier they're making thousands sick, but what are they doing, and are they really that bad?
Thanks, Beverly. It's good to be on your show. My journey into this topic actually started in late 2011, and when I started to do some investigative work, which turned into a documentary, a feature film documentary called Take Back Your Power, which you can actually freely watch on our website right now. But in a nutshell, I mean, there's so many things that cause harm about the so-called smart meter initiative or agenda that it's kind of like take your pick. I mean, if we're just going to whittle it down, it's a type of soft surveillance. It's a soft surveillance platform that essentially utilities and governments are doing in the name of climate action, but really it's a way to colonize the individual in their home. So what the kind of the globalist elite and the corporate bigwigs, or whatever you want to call it, what it appears they want is to create an entirely new economy based upon everything that you do in the privacy of your own home. And as crazy as that sounds, it's actually happening. But the good news is that we have just released the follow-up project to Take Back Your Power called the In Power Movement, which is all about a liability action to hold accountable for the first time ever in a mass action of liability, is what we're calling it, to hold accountable the white-collar criminals and the government agents that are pushing this agenda forward.
Okay. Yeah, I want to get into that here in just a little bit, but I want to talk just a minute more about the health. Tell us what some of the, because, you know, people really need to understand how bad these things really are and what's really a big part of your motivation. I mean, why you would go to all this trouble this is taking a lot of you guys' time. I mean, this is, y'all have done a lot. What is, you know, they just need to know what it's really doing to people that's really motivating y'all to do all this. So what are some of the symptoms that people are having? I mean, there are a lot of people, they're like, there's tens of thousands of people that have sicknesses that the doctors really can't pinpoint. And the name of this show is The Misdiagnosed Life. You know, in a sense, we're all living a misdiagnosed life because, you know, so much of what we think is true is not really true. And we don't really know the truth about a lot of things. And that's what the show's about, is to get the truth out to people and to help them to find the root cause of their issues. It's mainly health, mainly is what we talk about. We talk about other things. I talk about other things too on the show, because unless we really get to the root cause of our problems, whether they're health or otherwise, we're really not going to fix them. But what are some of the symptoms people are having and they realize that it's the smart meter causing it?
Well, just in brief, because I want to let my co-founder in the Empower Movement, Cal, speak at length, because what he has to say is very, very important and actually groundbreaking in terms of solutions, a greater solution on the planet. But in brief, the reason why I started to film, to get involved in actually creating a documentary about smart meters or so-called smart meters, is because a friend of mine at the time got sick, and she didn't realize that a meter had been installed on her house until well after the symptoms started. So how she experienced it was she had, skin rash, nausea, and she couldn't sleep, and possibly one or two other symptoms as well. Never sensitive by Wi-Fi or cell phones, but something about the smart meter kind of put her over the edge. And then she emailed me, and she's like, at that point, I basically said, I need to start filming, and I need to start interviewing people. And like you say, get to the root cause, get to the source of this problem and find out, is it actually happening? Are there actually all these people getting sick from metering technology on the side of their house? Like, it seems so innocuous. But as I got more and more into it, I saw, like we were talking earlier about going down the rabbit hole, and I saw that this was its own, like, rabbit hole with so much connected to it. And when you get down to the bottom of it, it's really, Cal can maybe talk about this more, but it's really can be seen as, and can actually be used as, according to the patents that are out there, as a weapon. Now, that might be uncomfortable to think about or even to consider, like, you know, in what sense could it be, could that be done? But when you consider even, like, you know, most of your listeners are aware, and most people, I mean, the world's waking up right now. We're seeing, like, for example, the pharmaceutical industry thrives on making people sick, you know, and the medical establishment, it doesn't really want to cure, doesn't want to get to the root of the problem. Mm-hmm. So if there is a device that could be not only used to, you know, spy on people and extract information and then sell that for trillions of dollars, which is what they're talking about, a market, then, you know, it's not a hard stretch to consider that they don't really care about the health effects that it's causing, which is actually backed by thousands of published studies. But the corruption within our governments, within the FDA, and in this case, the FCC and other agencies, but in this case, the FCC is supposed to be regulating anything to do that with a transmitter, but they don't care about health effects. Their safety limits are not based upon science, and that's why people in every state and every province in North America and around the world, actually, there's millions of people now who are becoming aware of this, and they're taking a stand, and they're contacting their utility, and they're saying, no, I'm not going to take one of these things.
Yeah, well, that's really good, and I agree. People are waking up, and the more you research and you study this stuff, and the more you realize how bad things like this, you know, things like this are, you've got to step back and say, why is this happening? And that's when you really start going down the rabbit hole. What do we do?
Exactly. Well, just in brief, and then I'll pass it off to Cal, because he's the solutions guy. So take back your power. It has won several independent awards, and it's been screened. I think we did 500 or 600 screenings worldwide, and you can actually watch it on Empower Movement. When you scroll down under episode one, there's a link to watch Take Back Your Power. If you want to actually learn more about the smart meter agenda, this is the documentary. This is the video that you want to watch. So that film is actually, you can consider that the trailer for the Empower Movement. So that birthed the Empower Movement. This is what we've really been wanting to get at. So I'll just pass that over to Cal, who's just just to briefly introduce him, I mean, I knew him before making Take Back Your Power because I had heard that he's doing some amazing things within the system of commerce, within the judicial system, within, you know, helping to balance the scales and fix some of the corruption within governments even.
Well, that's
and,
good.
He's definitely a pioneer, and we're privileged to be able to work with him. So he's going to share with you a little bit about how this all works.
Yeah, and I want to say this, that I am so thankful to you, Cal. I'm thankful to both of you, but, you know, especially to you, Cal, on this subject as far as helping with the court system, you know, because throughout history, when people, you know, as governments become corrupt and you can't get solutions or justice from, you know, you can't get the right laws passed and so on and so forth, the, you know, the courts are kind of the last straw. And especially when the media, which I think they call it the fourth branch of government, when it's corrupt, and we all know the mainstream media is corrupt, but what is the solution? What have you come up with?
Well, in my journey, I found that just what you said, that the courts are not what I thought they were, like what I was brought up to believe. And I hadn't had a lot of interaction with the court, hadn't had a lot of trouble in my life or anything, just a normal guy. And then I was really doused in it. When I got there, I found that there was something else going on, and I couldn't quite put my finger on it, but I could tell there was another agenda going on. And so it's kind of a journey to find out what that was. And then when I did find out what that was, I was able to learn solutions that operated at that level. So it came down to the courts are a business. And if you've ever seen Judge Judy on TV, that is a good analogy of what the court is. Like, Judge Judy is actually a judge, but she's not a de jure judge, as in, you know, like a U.S. judge or a Canadian judge. She's a judge on TV, which is a business that goes on TV to sell commercials, etc. So it's a money-making situation, but she is a judge, or was. Like, she's trained to be a judge. Mm-hmm. But when she's on that show, she is not a real judge. She is a judge by agreement. And there's money that's paid, and, you know, I'm sure people get paid to be on the show and all these things. So, but when you go there, you have to agree to be on there and that to have her as your adjudicator. Otherwise, you can't go there. So what I found was the courts operate in the same sort of way, and it's a business that offers court services. They portray themselves as a real court, but really it's a business, and therefore corruptible, because it's all about money.
Right.
So this started to spread into, now I understand, you know, once I saw that, then the government's like that too. And so you have to come to these kind of awakenings that kind of shock you into
reality.
a new reality. And much like the like the Wizard of Oz, once you pull back the curtain, a new reality came in, because the reality before was there was this thing called the Wizard of Oz who was giving all these commands and making you run up and down the yellow brick road doing all these tasks. Soon as you knew there was a man behind that, well, now there's a new reality, and you can't go back to the old one.
Yeah, there's no putting it back in the box.
No, you can't put the guy back backwards in the curtain, pretend it didn't. Yeah,
right.
You can't pretend it's not there. So you have to kind of come to grips with what is, and then start to do what it takes to operate with what is. So it's all based on commerce, and once you can learn this old ancient law system of commerce, there's a bunch of things that you can do that take matters into your own hands, because commerce was self-correcting and was only supposed to be used between merchants, and everybody understood how it worked, and therefore nobody could take advantage of the others, because once you know all the rules, you can't just take advantage.
Mm-hmm. They knew the game that was being played, so to speak.
Yeah, everybody was on the same page.
You
couldn't take advantage. But what they've done is they've moved that system into our system without telling us, and pretending like there's another system going on, but they're operating at this system, and then they can take advantage through ignorance.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so they've taken the game from us, so to speak. And I want you to hold that thought, because we want to come back and talk more about this, but they've kindly switched the game on us without telling us, and so they're kindly playing on one game and we're playing another game. In other words, they're playing chess and we're playing checkers, and we don't know that. And that makes a huge difference. And then when you start to understand, because I've seen some of your these videos, when you understand how the game's being played, when you start playing the game, then you can start checkmating them. And that's what I like. So that's very interesting to me. So we're going to get to that here in just a minute. We're going to take a little break now. You're listening to the Misdiagnosed Life podcast and talk radio. And I'm your host, Beverly Butler. And we will be right back with Josh Del Sol and Cal Washington. And we're going to talk about how we can take back our power.
The Out Loud Perspective awaits you in life, love, politics, a healthy lifestyle, your faith, personal development, and living an out loud life on AmericaOutloud.com. Blitzer News and Entertainment Network, where you can listen 24/7 on our free apps on both Android and Apple. Welcome to the new era in communications, America Out Loud Talk Radio.
Think back to the last time you felt healthy and energized. The best times of our lives occur when we're at the peak of our health, sleeping better, full of energy and focus. We know that fades with age, and you might be feeling the effects of aging as low energy and poor sleep. But it doesn't have to be that way. There haven't been any nutrition systems designed to rejuvenate our bodies as we get older, until now. Healthy Cell Pro is the only multi-nutrient system that impacts the building block of your body, the cell. Created by anti-aging expert and Nobel Prize nominee, Dr. Vincent Giampapa, award-winning Healthy Cell Pro cuts through the complexity of nutrition supplements by simply giving you the purest ingredients, filling dietary gaps to nourish your cells and enhance your quality of life for optimal performance. Visit HealthyCell.com and use code OUTLOUD for an exclusive discount, or call 844-869-9958.
We are back, and I'm really interested to hear more of what you have to say about how we as people can, you have found the solution to how we can take back our power. And one of the first things you learned was that they're playing a different game than we are, and they didn't tell us. So continue with that that line of thought and tell us what kind of game are they playing? And how did this happen? I mean, how did it happen?
Well, that's a long story, because it's been a while. It's been slowly infiltrated in, but there are those in the know who were the merchants, and going way back, there are certain families who their ancestors operate in these systems, and these things were taught, and eventually they were able to get it into the mainstream without people knowing. So they had to do a couple of bait and switch type things to deal with the money. They had to get the money off gold. They had to infiltrate the government. And so it's been a long, slow process of usurping the governments as we thought they were. So this has not been an overnight thing where you can see a date where this, you know, it switched here. It was a very methodical, slow process to get us into this stage. The meters themselves are they're trying to get them out as quickly as possible, and they're taking shortcuts. And but from my point of view, I really feel they've left themselves exposed by what they've done, because they're touching everybody's home in a commercial contractual arena. They've left themselves exposed to everybody doing something on their own or in a group. So this is one of the only things that is touching just about everybody. They're spraying stuff in the air, and all these things. And when you follow the money of all these problems, it all ends up at the same spot. Like, it's a pyramid. You can kind of see where it's going. So if you can pull that structure apart at any point, it's very fragile. And so I really feel the smart meter issue is a
an area where they're exposed. It, from my point of view,
mm-hmm. it's kind of their weak spot.
It's a weak spot because they're out there and they've really pushed on this and they've gone past a lot of laws and in the States it's definitely against the Constitution, which is a big risk. Mm-hmm. When you have that many people who are very aware of their Constitution.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's the key. The people's got to be aware that they're violating the Constitution.
Yeah, that could turn very quickly and become a huge problem, right? So, and then they keep trying things with the gun laws on the Constitution to see where people are at. And, you know, this past thing that just happened, you know, it's a tragedy, but I don't know how to say this, but...
just say it.
It looks like it's another inside job, and to try and get people to see where they're at, whether they're going to stand on this Constitution or not. And so the meters are another thing that's very similar to that. And if people become aware of what these meters can do, it could awaken a beast in the United mm-hmm. States. So, and this happened historically where the colonies were there and they just said enough's enough. And if you mm-hmm. thought about it, those few guys that signed their name on the Declaration of Independence, had it gone a different way, they would have been villains and hung for treason.
Right, right. They took a big risk. A big
yeah,
risk. Yeah,
they did.
Big risk.
But they realized that risk was worth it, mm-hmm. and it mm-hmm. turned out to be the winning side. So we're at that sort of crossroads again, mm-hmm. where we actually need to do something, because if you don't stop this now, you will not be able to.
Right. There always comes a point in history where you have to take, when you get at those critical junctures where we're at now and where our founders were, that you have to take big risk. It's either now or never. You know, and the government, the powers that be, we always refer them to. Some people are already referring to them as the powers that were. But anyway, they're always pushing us. They're pushing the envelope. They're seeing how far they can push us and how much they can get by with. And unless we wake up and draw the line in the sand, which I believe is what y'all are doing, and you're helping the people to do, because you're giving us solutions. You're giving us things we can do that actually work.
Yeah, and they work because... The meter thing is commercially based, and the corporate governments are also subject to commercial laws because they made it this way, but they just didn't think anybody would find out.
Yeah.
And so when I found out and I started using these techniques, they were just like, they didn't know what to do because they're stuck.
Yeah.
With their own stuff, right? They can't even say you can't do that because they're doing it all the time, right? So they're just like, what do we do? So that's when I started to see, judges running out of the room or not coming in the room and all these, strange coincidences that, people keep criticizing me that everything that I saw was a coincidence. But when you get to, 25, 30 coincidences of people leaving on the same day they got mail, it's no longer a coincidence.
Right.
And it doesn't matter what is written up about, they left to do this or left to do that. You can't have that many
coincidences
happening. Yeah, right. Exactly. It just becomes like...
It starts becoming not a coincidence. It's not a coincidence when you have that many coincidences.
Yeah, exactly.
So you've actually seen judges leave the court.
Yes.
Because they knew they were
so you can come up,
caught.
And I read a thing today, somebody criticizing, well, maybe he had to go to the bathroom. Well, yeah, maybe he did.
Yeah.
But he would have taken a break... before calling my case.
He would have hit his gavel and said, time for a break.
Yeah, said, we're taking a break now. Not go, let's call the next case. And then when the guy walks in, you run out, right?
Like, right.
You just don't, it wouldn't be done that way. So
he thought you weren't there. That's why he probably called.
Because I wasn't in the room.
Outside of the room.
Yeah, they called the case and then I was outside the room because I don't want to do all the bowing and all that when the judge comes in. So we always wait outside until the case is called. So as I'm walking in the door, he's running out. Like as soon as he saw me, basically, as if I came in with a gun, like he fled. Mm-hmm. And like full running, like an elderly man running. And so it was quite shocking to everybody, and everybody was shocked. We're all standing there, like, including myself. I didn't even know what to do at that time. It was just, I was still in the trial and error stage, right? So now I would know what to do, but then it was, like, what just happened?
Yeah.
And everybody else is looking at each other like, this is out of the norm, right? So when you start to see all these things, and especially people leaving on the same day they get the mail, doesn't matter what's written up, it becomes like, okay, no, this is working. This is obviously touching them at a place where they have no out, no solution, no law to get on top of you with, right? It's, you're at a level where they're stuck. They're stuck with their own stuff.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And Cal mentioned the people stepping down from high levels of government on the same day. One of those, and so I just wanted to mention, Beverly, to yourself and to all of your viewers, that all of this, these grand coincidences, this grand string of events that have happened both with Cal before we applied this methodology to the so-called smart meters, and also since then, like, we've actually worked with groups, and so there's been people stepping down and things happening that indicate that there's something happening here, that they fear liability in considerable numbers. So, for example, the former executive director of the IMF, the International Monetary Fund, top banker, one of the top bankers in the world, left on the same day that he got a notice from Cal attached to a $300 million personal liability with regards to corruption and a crime that he was noticed about. There's others that are, the whole string of events is actually in episode one, so watch that. But I just wanted to just to give some credence to that, is that Cal's a little bit modest, and we don't have time to talk about all of the events and things that have happened, but there's been some really, really significant things. When we first started applying this methodology to so-called smart meters, Cal sent a notice of default to the CEO, I was going to say chair, but no, it's the CEO of Corex Utilities, and he resigned that day.
Wow.
And that was also that week he received 100 notices of liability from people in British Columbia.
Wow. So the same guy.
Same guy. Yeah. So it's mm-hmm. it's the liability. We're seeing some significant reactions. We're getting letters back even from lawyers, and things happening and people quitting and policies changing, and it's tending to break apart even aspects of that control system, even within utilities themselves. So mm-hmm. like one utility one individual there in a position of influence will say, no, okay, we're not going to do smart meters then, but then they will get pressure put upon them from other people. And so it's this interesting thing that we're seeing happening in more than one venue right now, in which the liability action is being applied. So it's going to be very, very interesting to see now that it's out there. And the idea is that everyone who wants to take a stand and to contribute to positive change does the notice of liability, whether it's online, it's actually freely available on our website. And what we're doing now is we're building the next phase of it to help people, to give them support, to make it simple, and to help them actually get together in groups and connect with people in their own neighborhoods and cities. Mm-hmm. So this, we're seeing the potential of this as very big.
Yeah, that sounds really good. Now, and what y'all are doing is y'all are giving people tools and explaining it very simply and very thoroughly of what to do in order to take back our power and get these smart meters off of our homes and buildings, or not even get them on there to start with. And one thing I really like that makes a lot of sense is that you're holding them accountable. It's like personal. You're holding the people, the individual people that send this stuff out, personally responsible. In other words, it's their backside that's on the line. They can't hide behind a title or the government or the company or whatever. It's them. And that's where seems to me like the crux of it. You're holding people personally liable. And so when people, it just makes total sense. When people start being personally liable for some of the stuff they're doing, that is, as you've just said, it changes the whole ball game. Changes. Everything changes. And I'm just it's thrilling, you know, because when you start seeing people quit and judges walk out of the room time and time and time again, and various things happen, then you know you're on the right track. You know you're hitting a nerve somewhere. And so I just I commend you for doing this, and I think this is I'm very excited about this. And not only this, but you can use this model to attack other problems, and that's the very exciting. That's also a very exciting thing. This is not just something to attack one thing; it's a model to attack other things, so that we can take our power as a people, can take our power back from the government. Name of the government, but from companies and from any number of people, but mainly the government. We can take the power back, and then we can start take more charge of our own lives. And that's what we need. That is what America is starving to death for. America's hungry for that. America is hungry for leadership that will help us take our power back. And so you're doing that, and I highly commend you for doing that. And so we're going to take another quick break, and we're going to come back. We're going to talk more about this and see what else y'all got up your sleeve. I'm Beverly Butler, and you're listening to the Misdiagnosed Life podcast and talk radio on America Out Loud Network. And we will be right back.
The goal is to deliver a message of truth, inspiration, and hope to the world, to unite people from all backgrounds and beliefs in an effort to advance humanity. News blogs, informative podcasts, and entertaining videos. It's AmericaOutLoud.com, where the conversation never ends. With 24/7 streaming on our free apps on both Android and Apple. Welcome to the new era in communications, America Out Loud Talk Radio.
Again, I'm Beverly Butler, and you're listening to the Misdiagnosed Life podcast and talk radio. And I'm here talking today to Josh Del Sol, director of the documentary Take Back Your Power in Cal, Washington, who's an empowerment advocate and a contractor. And they've got something really neat going on here. And they're actually getting some really good results. This is one of the few times we've actually seen somebody attack a problem and have real solutions.
The whole idea is to keep people out of court because the court is part of the problem, as you said okay. earlier in the program. So to go in to do class actions and to go into court, you're really dealing with the same thing that's causing the problem. So it's like going to the I always give the analogy of a pirate ship. You're going onto the pirate ship and telling the pirate captain that you're being pirated, and he needs to stop this pirating. And they just kind of look at you like, you know, you're on the pirate ship right here, and we have rules out here that are different than on the wharf, and but they don't tell you all this, so they just let you be in ignorance, and then you're wondering why things were ruled against you. And I've seen some brilliant cases put on, and they lose because they're not playing according to the rules that the system is playing at. So yeah. I just wanted to clarify that. So we've taken this, we're basically taking the system and feeding it to itself. That's the best way to put this. So,
you're doing this without going to court, just to be clear.
Without going to court.
Okay. So well, that's pretty neat.
Because the courts are actually subject to this commercial process. That's why I brought up the Judge Judy thing. The courts are another corporation, and therefore are in commerce, and therefore have to follow the rules of commerce. And if you were up to speed on how commerce works, when you're actually in the courtroom, you can see it being played out. You just don't understand what you're seeing. So it takes kind of a little bit of a learning curve if you really want to, like for me. So what we've done is taken this document, put it together so that a lay person without going through all the things that I went through can actually implement this thing, and it will function as it's supposed to function.
Okay, so let me be clear about something, because you're saying that our court system is under commercial law instead of judicial law.
Correct.
Now, how did that happen? Just the same as everything else has happened? That's crazy. That makes no sense.
Yeah, they've switched it. And some theorize that the switch was a case called Erie Railroad, where it kind of really switched. So without getting into, you know, all too much stuff that people won't get into, the court, especially where I am, even where I live, on the door of the court, it says business hours. It doesn't say court hours. And during one of my cases, I had a bunch of paperwork because, again, we were doing a lot of trial and error. That's how I learned this, was just trial and error. And there was, you know, it was years of error, and I had to bear the brunt of those errors, right? So so towards the end, or maybe halfway through, three quarters of the way through, when I was starting to get on top of this, I had a bunch of paperwork in, and I was going to go through, you know, systematically, I was going to try this. I had a list of how I was going to try and approach this. So I had it all in there so that I could call it up and see what was going to work and what wasn't going to work. So one judge, and she was a really good judge. I watched her, you know, over the years in other cases, because I have to sit there a lot and watch other cases. So I learned a lot just by being in the room, right? And so she was a really good judge, and she was very frustrated with me. And she said, "This is a business, and you need to do something."
Wow.
Because she was at her wit's end, like trying to get out of this case, because what I was bringing forth was just too much for them to handle. So she, in her frustration, she just blurted that out. "This is a business, and you need to do something."
You were really getting on her nerves, weren't you?
Yeah. But so she blurted that out. "This is a business. It's not." Yeah. So it's once this all dawned on me, what was really going on in there, and when I started treating them like a business, then everything changed. So even when I was incarcerated, say I was in court, I would they would say, "Okay, we're going to have we want to have, you know, we're adjourning today, but we want to set a new date." And normally the person, the accused, doesn't get to choose the date.
Right.
The lawyer does. "Oh no, I'm busy that day. So how about you?" "No, can't make it." And I wouldn't even give them a reason why. "I can't make that date." And the prosecutor would look like, but the judge knew that he knew what I was doing, so he didn't want to rock my boat, right? He said, okay, no problem. And the prosecutor had never seen this kind of behavior before, where the accused just goes, "No, I can't make that." I started treating the court like a business, and so that everything was a contract and everything was negotiable. Mm-hmm. Everything. So no matter what somebody said, I was like, "Okay, do I really want to accept that, or do I want to renegotiate that?"
I mean, that changes everything. That changes everything.
Yeah.
If they're operating under commerce law.
Yeah. So the thing is, it takes a while before they start giving you the credibility to do that.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Like, if somebody else went in there, they would just jump on them, and then you would get scared back into your mm-hmm. spot, mm-hmm. right?
Yeah, they're not used to that. They don't want you doing that. They're going to intimidate you if they can.
Yeah. So once they know that you know, like once you've done this enough and you practiced at it and you've been in there a lot, then you start getting the respect that they start to give you credibility, mm-hmm. and that therefore they towards the end they were actually afraid of me. Because judges didn't want to take my cases. They were always trying to get off, and you know, nobody wanted it. And the judge that I finally got in this, you know, when I was in for 60 days, was the newest judge that had been appointed. She'd only been a judge for 30 days, so she got it. Like, she was the bottom. So they had to bring her in from a whole other court. She wasn't, you know, in the court that I was in. She wasn't from that court. They had to bring her in, but she was the bottom, brand new, the newest judge in the whole province. And we mm-hmm. found this out later. So she got it. And it didn't turn out well for them. So
that had to be a good feeling.
It was. And but I didn't plan it out. I'm not the dumbest person, but I'm not, you know, I'm no genius either. I'm just a guy that kind of stood. And that's really what it was. I have that sort of tenacity to hold my ground.
Yeah.
And so it was more of that got me to where I was. And even when I got her in that $300 million deal, I didn't know it was going there. Like, I didn't plan it.
Where did that come from, the $300 million thing?
It came from my friends trying to get me out of jail. So they basically put what we call a commercial instrument in. And
then, now we're going down the rabbit hole.
Yeah, we're going down a rabbit hole. And I don't want to encourage people to do commercial instruments without some education. Trust me.
Yeah.
But anyway, that was put in, and they took it. And because they took it, and we knew that they took it, they had to balance this, because it's, again, it's just business. So the books have to balance. So they took this instrument, and they tried to give me my time back, because that's what the instrument was buying. Mm-hmm. They tried to give me my time back on a piece of paper. Everything to them is paper. It's not reality, right? So she tried to give me 59 days back, because she only sentenced me to one day, but I had already done 60. Because what I was in there was for driving without insurance, which you would never get 60 days in jail for, right?
Yeah. It,
but they held me that long, and so they couldn't give me the 60 days. She could only give me the one day, which is the day I was standing there, really, arrested more than the 24 hours. And so she tried to give me 59 days back. And really, God gave me the words, and there's a verse in the Bible that says, when you're before the magistrate, I will give you the words. So this, as it was coming out of my mouth, I was understanding what had just transpired at the same time she was, the judge. I had no idea this is where it was going. I went, you need to switch that 59 days has to switch for the $300 million that you took, because it wasn't in the file anymore. They took it. So it's like leaving cash on the desk saying, give me my guy back. And then you go and look, and the cash is gone. Well, my guy's still in, but you've taken the money. Mm-hmm. Hmm. So they tried to give me the time back on in a piece of paper saying, okay, we took the money, but we let you go 59 days ago, even though you're still here, because a piece of paper gave me credit, jail time credit. So they tried to slough that off in order to balance this, and I didn't see it coming. And then God really gave me the words to say, to switch that, you need to give me what you took in money for the 59 days credit, because they have to equal. You're trying to make it equal in commerce, and they were caught. So then this whole process of enforcing this is where this process came from. And so I ended up going through learning more deeper commerce, and then we went after the 300 million. That's when top guys started leaving office. Then it was revealed to me to stop going after the money and go after the queen, because where I live, they're all under oath to the queen, and then the queen is under oath to the Bible. So I could take this whole thing that I've been through for the last 10 years and drop it on her lap using a Bible verse and tell her she has to fix it, otherwise her oath goes into default.
Okay, now you're in Canada. People can understand, you're in Canada. Okay, go ahead.
But trust me, the Queen is involved with the United States as well. There's been two presidents that have been knighted by her. And so there's stuff going on that the American people aren't aware of.
People would be shocked. And I know, yeah. I don't even know, we don't even know the half of it. But
exactly.
we would all be shocked if we really knew what was going on behind that curtain.
Yeah, so the fact that two presidents were knighted for their duty by the Queen tells you there's something wrong in Oz, so.
Right.
And that's actually against the Constitution. That's you can't swear an oath to a foreign dignitary.
Yeah, and there's been another president to do not that same thing, but to be a part of another government body that's been president of this country, which is unconstitutional.
Yes. Yeah. So it tells you that the Constitution, the government that's running, is not a constitutional government.
Right, right.
It is a corporate government, and they've got your everybody's agreement. They get you through this thing called tacit agreement, which is a commercial mechanism. And so they get you to vote. So the fact that you vote means you agree with the situation, mm-hmm. even though they don't tell you what's really going on.
They don't tell you the situation. So, yeah.
No, they don't tell you the situation.
No wonder they think we're stupid. You know, because they're out of over here, they know all this stuff that most of us don't know, which we're waking up to. No wonder they treat us like we're idiots, you know?
Yeah, and it's by design.
It is.
Because
absolutely.
They run the education system. They run the media. So the only information you're going to get is what's been spoon-fed to you.
Right.
The internet has opened up things where you can have a chance of finding the truth. You can find a lot of untruths on there, too.
Have to be careful about that, but you can find the truth there if you know what you're looking for.
But it's connected people in a way that, you know, somebody might know something over here, and then you can start to piece together, and so we can get to this this overall truth, because it seems that like there's an overall lie going on, and it's very fundamental, and you know, even to the point of our countries are a lie. You know, it's when it's at that sort of fundamental level, and like you say, even the courts are not what they are. It's a big problem, you know. So we have to come up with solutions that will work at that level of what it is, not what we think it is or what it should be.
Yeah.
And that's the key. You have to kind of see what it is first so that you know what to do with it. If you try and do something with what you think it is or what you've been told it is, or what you even think it should be, you're not going to get the solution.
Right.
And that's what we saw within the so-called smart meter, you know, awareness movement, is we saw time and again, I mean, a handful of class action lawsuits which had been started up, but then the minute they get to court, the judge just tosses it out. Judge just doesn't want to hear it. The judge has the ability to make an arbitrary decision that we're not going to accept your class action case, even though you have all of these thousands of people and all of these scientific studies and all of this admissions of harm being done. I mean, that was actually part of the reason why In Power Movement got birthed, is because I needed to get to the root cause and to get to a solution, because petitions weren't working, obviously.
Wow.
Class action lawsuits even, and all kinds of people going to hearings and having their say, and it just was the same cookie cutter type dog and pony mm-hmm. show happening in every single place where these flipping meters were going in, was that, you know, they would pretend that they're listening to the people and all these concerns. Yeah, we're going to listen to you and we're going to evaluate, but they just have their agenda. Mm-hmm. It's just pre-written. They're just turned by the dollars.
Yeah, and that's what people are so used to. I mean, that's why this is so wonderful that you have come up with this and discovered this, because it's a real solution. It's not something that they can just flippantly toss it aside and go on. They know this is a real solution. They know that you know what they're doing. And so
exactly.
that makes this wonderful.
I wanted to mention one other thing about it, is that what we're doing with this liability action is going from our phase one was our seed group action. So we saw numerous people stepping down. We saw some policy change, but the agenda still continued. That was about 250 people doing this action behind the scenes without any coverage, without us talking about it at all. What we're doing now with phase two, the whole objective is we want to stop and reverse the so-called smart meter agenda. We want to prevent these meters from going in, and we want to have them all come out. And I think that we can actually do that quite quickly, because like you said, I mean, people are really catching on. The next two matters or problems that we're planning to address are the mandatory vaccination problem.
I'm really interested in that for sure.
which is hand in glove with this type of solution, because it's legislators that are voting in legislation to directly cause you harm when there's all this proof that these vaccinations and the way that they're doing them are harmful and are deadly in some cases. And
that's
then
exciting.
the 5G deployments and the small cell matter, the wireless, you know, going up everywhere. And of course, that's becoming explosive in terms of awareness and people getting becoming ill from that. So, but just today, actually, in California, it was that bill, that SB 649 bill in the state of California, which was set to allow blanket deployments of wireless technology, that got vetoed by the Californian governor.
Okay.
So that was quite a development, and because it's because of people on the ground push back and holding these individual legislators' feet to the fire.
Okay. So now, have y'all already? Is this like the next phase? Did you say that you're going to start addressing these other things, or is this something we can do now?
Well, right now we're focused on the so-called smart meter.
Smart meters, right?
Problem, right?
Yeah.
So that's in the wing. There's already people working on that, like within our team, and we have several hundred volunteers now actually building this movement from the inside. And we encourage anyone listening to this to go to our website, inpowermovement.com, and click the ground crew button. So that's how you can get involved, and that's how you can bring this to your area, and you can be part of the solution.
Okay, yes, I was going to mention that and what time we've got left. People need to go to inpowermovement.com, and they can also sign up to get on your email list there, correct?
Correct, yeah, and watch episode 2. So episode 1 and 2 are free and available on our website.
Okay, yes, and they really actually need to watch your documentary, Take Back Your Power. Now, do they do that takebackyourpower.com, is that how they get in?
It's linked from inpowermovement.com.
Okay.
As I had mentioned, down below there's actual text link, but I just encourage everyone to watch Take Back Your Power if you're not familiar with the smart meter problem. But you're going to want to watch episode 1, because episode 1 is you know, everything that Cal's talking about, and then more, and explains how it works, why it works, what we can do, and how this, you know, how we can get this wool pulled out from, you know, in front of our face.
Yeah, it was really, really good. So I highly suggest everyone going to inpowermovement.com and signing up so you can get on, so you can watch these videos and listen to the podcast, and also get on their email list, because you're going to want to keep up with what these guys are doing, and as they progress and do more, so that you can participate in, especially if something really strikes a chord with you. Of course, all of this affects all of us, but you know, sometimes we're, you know, a little more passionate about some things than others. But you do want to keep up with what these guys are doing, and you know, stay in touch with them. And so, and the best way to do that is to get on their email list, and also at the same time you can watch these videos that they've got out. Is there anything you want to say in closing? Now, I do want to say this: when you start working on some of these other things, I want to get you back so that we can make more people aware of what you're doing, you know, especially with the vaccinations and with the other electromagnetic radiation problems that's coming. Is there anything you want to tell the audience, that anything they can be doing other than what we've already said?
Try and educate yourself. You know, in all my education, I look back at some of the writings of Americans, you know, around the time of the Revolution, and I was shocked to find the level of intelligence and knowledge, vocabulary of some very young men and women that is just not happening in this day and age. And this is on purpose. So
it is.
We've been myself included, we've been dumbed down.
Right.
And we need to, part of our taking our power back is to realize that we are much more powerful than what we've been told we are, and we are much bigger than we've been told we are. There's a lot of knowledge that has been slowly taken away as generations have gone by. And you know, I would encourage people to search out the truth. You know, really, you know, a great man once said, "You will know the truth, and the truth will set you free."
Yeah, it'll set you free. Yeah.
And that tells you a couple of things. That number one, there's a lie, otherwise he wouldn't tell you, he would know the truth.
Yeah.
And number two, you're enslaved by something and you probably don't know it.
Mm-hmm. And that you can know the truth.
Yes.
You can know it.
And
so
you
it's
will
not that,
know it.
And you will know it if you want to, if you search it, search it out. Yeah. That's absolutely correct. Yeah. Okay. Well, thank you so much. And I just appreciate you guys and what you're doing. And just keep on keeping on, because you're doing a wonderful job. And we, all of us, appreciate what you're doing and the solutions that you've come up with that you're sharing with us. And you're actually giving us our power back. And we do appreciate that. And you're right. We have been deliberately dumbed down. There's a book out there. There's others, I'm sure. But Non Dare Call It Education, wonderful little book that's heavily sourced, that goes into detail how they have deliberately dumbed us down. And it's easier to mislead and lead astray ignorant people, because you don't know any better. So knowledge is very much power, but we have to use that power. And thank you for giving us the knowledge to take back our power. And thank you for listening. This is Beverly Butler. You've been listening to the Misdiagnosed Life podcast and talk radio on America Out Loud.